get lunch at Dunkin'.
It should be all right. Just check there and see. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and of course we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being. We have with us on the line April Oakes, and we're going to be talking today about the tragedy of autism and the fact that this is an epidemic that is exploding across America. It used to be we had 1 in 10,000 children with autism. Today, it's 1 in every 160 children has autism. And not only that, but when we stop and think of the attention deficit disorder and the attention deficit hyperactivity disorder and the learning disabilities, about 1 in every 6 American children has either a neurodevelopmental abnormality or a learning disability. And the question is, why? Well, April's on the front line trying to bring out the truth about the fact that that we have an epidemic, and the government keeps saying, oh, there's a problem, but certainly it's not the mercury in the vaccines, and it's not the measles vaccine, and certainly there's nothing you can do to treat it. April, thank you so very much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me, Stan.
Why don't you tell our listeners just a little bit about yourself and what drew you into this battle to try to inform the American people?
Well, unfortunately, Stan, I was a victim as much as my first child, Casey. She was the one that I held down thinking I was doing the best thing for her and had her fully vaccinated. She was labeled autistic, and then she ended up passing away 6 years ago, coming up next week. And it's a very obvious that I was loaned an angel for 4 years for a very strong purpose, which is to wake up the world to the truth about vaccinations.
And of course, the trouble is that the CDC and the government and the NIH and all of the medical organizations, and I don't blame the doctors, it's just that they don't know, but they're consistently being told that this has nothing to do with vaccinations, that people who say it are simply fear-mongers and hysterical and grieving parents, but they don't understand the science. Well, what is the science? What do we really know about this tragedy?
Well, this is one thing that we have is, you know, a presentation that I actually do is based on 24 years of science, and we have the science, Stan, although they have smoke screens of opinions rather than solid science. And no one knows our babies better than we do. I saw my daughter regress after each round of vaccinations. They couldn't give me answers. I started researching on my own, learning the truth, and everything we've been told about vaccines is not true, simply not true.
Well, of course, it's so difficult for the average parent to believe that their doctor, who they trust, would, you know, give their child a vaccine that could be harmful. And yet, of course, what is the evidence that there is a relationship between vaccination and, you know, and the onset of autism, other than the fact that so many parents have a story very much like yours? The child was doing well and took their vaccine, they began to regress, and many times if they take additional vaccines, they even got worse.
Yeah, unfortunately, our pharmaceutical companies who are making the billions and billions of dollars on these vaccinations, they pretty much control our whole nation, for our world for that matter, because this is a pandemic, not an epidemic. And they control the knowledge the doctors have. They fund the medical schools that are training these doctors. So they're only getting the information from the people who are, you know, the conflict of interest, the people who are funding the studies and funding everything, disproving the connection.
All that, we'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay. Our guest today is April Oakes, and she's with a group that is called TAAP. And, of course, they're on the front lines of trying to educate people about the government cover-up of the cause of autism and learning disabilities and of this whole spectrum of disabilities that includes, these hyperactivity disorders and the attention deficit disorders. And these things, at least many of the pathological forms of this, are entirely new. Autism is epidemic, and there is a definite causal relationship in my estimation, and I've read the scientific studies, and it's not only that what I've read, but the fact that this is being kept secret, and I've read some of the secret government studies, and that is really what's so infuriating, because they hold secret meetings, and they agree there's a problem, and then they agree to cover it up. Why would they do something like that?
Well, again, it's the love of money is what I've had to learn the hard way. I mean, there's a lot of money being made. There's conflicts of interest, the same people who are sitting on the pharmaceutical boards are mandating which vaccines are required for school. The pharmaceutical companies literally give financial incentives to the pediatricians as well as the schools per vaccinated child, and that's why they tell you no shots, no school, no kidding, which was the biggest misconception, and that was the biggest thing I was the most upset about, was that they're misleading parents to think you can't go to school without them, and it's simply not true. There's exemptions in every state to go to school. So, again, it's just a big money-making business, and there's been congressional hearings since 1999. Congressman Dan Burton has been uncovering this stuff, and, of course, the public's not aware of it because the pharmaceutical companies are the biggest sponsors of our media. Every other commercial is a drug commercial, so the information, like no long-term safety studies since 1929, is not getting uncovered. The information about the conflicts of interest, and just many other things that Congressman Burton's uncovered, and because two of his grandchildren were affected by the vaccinations.
And I think really what's so incredible is the fact that they've known of the toxicity of thimerosal. In fact, it was in methylate, and when I first got practicing medicine, we used to use methylate, and then suddenly it disappeared. Because they found if you put it on the skin, it damaged the child, and they developed all sorts of toxicity from it. So they took it off because it bothered, it produced toxicity on the skin. But they left it in the vaccines and gave up to 85 times the maximum daily allowance to children in the first day of their birth in the nursery, saying, oh, we've got to protect your child from hepatitis B. That's why we've got to give it, knowing full well this is not a problem for 99.5% of our children. And what they've done, of course, has done irreparable harm to them. We're going to be back in just a moment with April Oakes as soon as our other stations return. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this afternoon is April Oakes. And she is one of a group of mothers that really are out there on the front lines trying to get the information out. Now, what scientific studies are there that show that there is a definite relationship between vaccines actually being exposed to these toxic doses of mercury and the onset of autism? Are there studies where one group has been vaccinated with thimerosal containing vaccines and the others have not, and there's a significant difference between them?
Well, there are studies. Unfortunately, most of them are epidemiological studies, which can be manipulated, we're finding out. And, Stan, I'd like to bring to the attention of the audience that mercury is definitely a problem, although the vaccinations have many other toxins, like aluminum and formaldehyde and aborted fetal tissue and animal viruses, animal RNA, DNA. My lesson has been, after being loaned an angel for 4 years, obviously without God I wouldn't be breathing and talking to you right now, very clearly that he is our master physician, and he created us with all that we need. He gave us fever, vomiting, diarrhea to suppress and to expel, and we allow medical doctors or the pharmaceutical companies to convince us to suppress those defense mechanisms and directly into the body inject these biological toxins for immunity. And we're wondering why. Autoimmunity is just the body, not being able to distinguish itself from non-self, so it attacks. And that's what autoimmune is, and that's what it's doing to autistic children, ADD, ADHD. It's an immediate attack to the brain, our researchers are proving. My father died from ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease, from his flu shot every year. Even, I believe, Montel Williams went public that his hepatitis B vaccination caused his multiple sclerosis. So all these are autoimmune. Even cancer. they're finding SV40, simian virus, monkey virus number 40, in cancer tumors. Again, right. Autoimmune.
I think it's so interesting that a recent study showed that nurses, of course, all nurses are more or less required to take their hepatitis B vaccinations, and they found that, it tripled the incidence of multiple sclerosis in nurses. Those who refused to take it had a third of the MS that the nurses who were good little nurses and went right along and did what they were told to do and took the vaccine. And we know it triggers an autoimmune response. That's what it's designed to do. But pretty soon you begin, of course, to react against your own tissues. And there's a dramatic increase in asthma, in allergy, certainly in these central nervous system diseases, and then in autism. And, of course, some people even wonder if there may be a relationship to diabetes. We need the scientific studies, and there are none. They're simply experimenting with our children. And when you would think they were getting sicker, they would have done something to stop this process. Instead, they said not only we're not going to stop it, we don't want you to try to get treated. And, one of the things that really bothered me recently, about 2 months ago, when they had this massive media campaign, you couldn't turn on the radio or listen to television or pick up a news magazine that wasn't telling you about the epidemic of autism and assuring you shouldn't get treatment for your children. Did you notice that?
Oh, absolutely. It's almost like they're trying to ignore the fact that autism's an epidemic, and I can't tell you how God has made very clear to me, my daughter's mausoleum even says God's dearest angel on it. I believe this is a bigger battle than you and I, and I believe that these are the angels he's using to wake us up to what we're doing. I mean, literally, we're, destroying a generation here, and if we don't wake up to what we're doing, we're going to wipe out another one.
And I think that's really so clear now. I'm sure you're probably well aware of some of the work that's been done by the father and son, Mark and David.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly they've been on the front lines trying to get the information out. They actually got into the CDC data bank. Everything was done to keep private individuals from seeing what was in the data bank. And Mark and David Geyer actually were only able to get into it because one congressman, under the Freedom of Information, demanded that the public be allowed to see something that the government had. And what they found in the studies, there was a very definite relationship and difference between children who were vaccinated, say, with DPT, with thimerosal, and those who didn't get the thimerosal, and a dramatic decrease if you didn't get the thimerosal. And I think that people in government know this. They're just afraid the public's going to learn what's been going on. What are your thoughts?
Well, I absolutely agree with you, and the thimerosal they're claiming is out of the vaccinations, although Dr. Boyd Haley, another researcher from Kentucky University, just recently tested the latest vaccines, and they still contain the mercury.
Is they really? In other words, they're lying to us about that, too.
Pretty much, and as well as all the other ingredients, again, they're suppressing. It's almost like they want us to believe that if you go get a mercury, a mercury-free vaccine, your child's okay. And that's just not true either, and that's what we're trying to expose is the full truth. My organization, the Autism Autoimmunity Project, we're trying to expose the full truth so that parents can, make an informed choice, because I wish to God I would have known the information that I know today before I blindly held my daughter down.
Well, I think that it's so vitally important that people understand that the public health officials say, why have we taken the mercury out of the childhood vaccines? Now, of course, Dr. Haley, who I personally know and I respect, and if he says it's still in there, why, of course, I have no doubt that it is. But even more frightening and shocking is they say they've taken it out of the childhood vaccines, but we know they've left it in the influenza vaccine, and they're still telling parents, well, if you love your child, why, and they're 6 months of age, go ahead and get the influenza vaccine. Why would you do that when they have admitted the danger of the mercury, the toxic doses? And we know what it does to the older people and the Alzheimer's disease that's being brought on with the older people, but why are we giving it to vulnerable children, defenseless children?
That's the question we ask all the time, Stan, especially the hepatitis B vaccination. It's a blood-borne pathogen that is only transferable through IV drug use, sexual activity, and blood transfusions.
Is that why we give it in the nursery?
They give it within 3 hours, I heard recently, of right. birth. And parents are literally getting threatened to have their children taken away if they don't do it. It's just unbelievable, and I don't know how much you want me to get into it, but God has revealed everything. I mean, it's literally a spiritual war here. This is totally a satanic attack as far as I'm concerned.
Well, you won't get any argument from me on that, but go ahead into the background of this hepatitis B, because I believe this is truly criminal to recommend this when it is a non-factor for American children. Now, it is a factor over in China, where something like 700 million people have been infected with hepatitis B, and the reason is why they gave them vaccinations with dirty needles, and they spread it in the same way they spread hepatitis C throughout the world. They just had no idea. They just kept using those dirty needles, and 700 million Chinese, of course, contracted the disease, and so there is some justification for giving this hepatitis B vaccine to newborns there, but why are they giving it here in the United States when in the white population it's, you know, less than a fraction of a 1%?
Yeah, I'm with you, although I do believe, I mean, based on my obsessive research since the death of my daughter, these vaccines then aren't even proven to create immunity. There's been no safety studies, there's been no science. For instance, we're told that vaccines eradicated diseases. In the presentation that I'll do for whoever will listen, I show the charts on how these diseases that we're vaccinating for, number one, are not deadly. Chickenpox, we know, is not deadly, as well as measles and mumps and all the other ones they give these babies. But when you look at the actual charts of the epidemics were on a natural decline because of better sanitation and nutrition long before the pharmaceutical companies created the vaccine. It's almost like they waited till the epidemic was decreased so that they could say 10 years later, look what these vaccines did. But when you go and look into it, it's not true. They don't work. I don't believe vaccinations even work based on my research. So that's the message I'm trying to get out, is just exposing everything that I've had to learn the hard way. And I'm not trying to make, you know, friends, money, or popularity. I'm trying to wake the world up in honor of my baby that had to sacrifice her life to put me on the track that I'm on now. And, you know, nothing's going to stop me from speaking the truth.
All right, fine. Well, you know, certainly I practiced medicine in the era before and after the polio vaccine, and I think that we did a great thing in stopping polio, but we, in the process, contaminated most of the people in this country with a simian cancer-producing virus. And then, of course, when they changed from the rhesus monkey to the green monkey, to actually culture the virus in the kidney of the monkeys, well, then we contaminated everybody with the monkey cytomegalic viruses. And nobody ever talks about that.
Yeah, and that's why we, us parents, have to really, you know, be the voice for these voiceless angels, Stan. And, you know, it's just unbelievable. Even one of our scientific advisors was the oral polio campaign manager back in the 50s.
Was he really?
And do you know, he recently acknowledged that he could be wrong? Because what they're doing is they're just changing the diagnosis. They stopped calling it polio, so polio decreased, but they started calling it encephalitis. So it's just the way that they manipulate their numbers and the way they make it look like vaccines have been the best thing since sliced bread is just not true.
Well, I think that the very interesting thing is the government's charts, and I know you've seen them and I've seen them, and you can see that, I mean, when you talk about diphtheria, there was a 99% decrease in deaths from diphtheria from 1900 to about 1944 or 46 when they started the diphtheria vaccine. So it had decreased 99% of during that period of time. And I'm sure you've seen the same decrease, dramatic decrease in the incidence of death from measles. You know, it was down, I think, from about 11,000 to 44. I think that was the number in 1966 when they began the measles vaccine. But they never tell the parents that, oh, we're saving your child's life. Well, I mean, these things were a very real problem, you know, 100 years ago, but they were not the problem when they started the vaccines. But nobody wants to admit that.
Yeah, do you know that outbreaks in measles, for instance, in vaccinated populations, in 1984, 58% were fully vaccinated, 99% in Corpus Christi, 96%. So these vaccines, literally, they say that our unvaccinated children are putting these children at risk. And it's not true either, because if the vaccines worked, why would they be concerned?
We're going to be back here in just a moment here at Radio Liberty.
Our four-tape set on the JFK assassination includes an interview with Lee Harvey Oswald. Of course, it's not an interview that I did, but it is an interview, and you'll actually hear Lee Harvey Oswald talking before the time of the assassination, a two-hour interview with Colonel Fletcher Prouty, who was the liaison between the Pentagon and the CIA at the time of the assassination of the American president, and then, of course, my overall analysis of the reasons why President Kennedy was assassinated. There's so much information that has not been put out, and if you listen to this four-tape set, you will begin to understand that there are forces at work behind the scenes which have been able to confuse the American people about the reality of the murder of an American president. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, that's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for the JFK assassination tapes.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. A secret of healthy aging was recently found among people who have lived unusually long, healthy lives. The longest-lived woman, Jean Calment of France, who lived 122 years, and man, Antonio Todd of the Italian Isle of Sardinia, who lived 115 years, as well as the Queen Mother of England, who lived 100 years, outliving one of her daughters by 3 decades, was their daily consumption of red wine. But health authorities have been reticent to recommend an alcoholic beverage to the public at large, until now. Longevinex is the world's first stabilized French red wine extract in a pill, without the calories and without the alcohol or sulfite preservatives. One Longevinex capsule provides the red wine molecules found in 5 glasses of the best red wine. Call 866-405-4000 to order Longevinex. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done, get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today, 800-544-8927, 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap, it's a miracle.
Sophisticated investors are buying gold and silver today because the dollar has lost almost 50% of its value in relationship to the euro, and the price of gold and silver has increased almost 40%. If you're interested in learning more about precious metal investing, why don't you call Bo at 831-423-0177. That's 831-423-0177, or visit him at Elliott's Stamp and Coin Shop in downtown Santa Cruz at 141 South River Street in the San Lorenzo office building, which is located between Trader Joe's and the Signature Twin Movie Theater. Bo's telephone number is 831-423-0177. That's 831-423-0177. And he's located at 141 South River Street in the San Lorenzo office building. And if you mention you heard about Elliott Stamp and Coin Shop on Radio Liberty, why, you'll get a 15% discount on some non-investment items. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here, and April was talking to us about some of the epidemics that have been there. What were those figures again? You said in these measles epidemics that most of the children had been vaccinated?
Had been fully vaccinated, yeah. In 1984, 58% were fully vaccinated, 85%, 99%, 86%, 96% were fully vaccinated, 88%, 69%, and 89%, 89%. So in other words, it's showing that the measles outbreak was, it happened more, the higher percentage was in vaccinated children, which indicates the vaccines don't even work. So why would I subject my child? I have 2 unvaccinated children, an 8 and a 4-year-old, who have never even had an ear infection. They have God-given immune systems. I saw with my own 2 eyes, I did my own scientific experiment as a mother who knows their babies better than anybody, And my daughter was 4 when she passed away, and my son was 2. And during his pregnancies, when we realized her injuries was caused by the vaccination, so we didn't vaccinate him. And do you know that for 2 years, I saw the difference between a fully man-made immune system and a fully God-made immune system? There is no comparison. And just to go a little further on that, she ended up passing away. Well, the cytomegalovirus, one of our researchers are finding the monkey viruses and to causing herpes simplex and all that. So she had mono, which suppressed her immune system, and she inevitably died from bacterial meningitis that went undiagnosed by the hospital I rushed her to. And they told me the day they took her off life support, we need to get your son in here and get him treated for bacterial meningitis. So my husband rushes my son there, and when they ask, the hospital asks, is he fully vaccinated or is he up to date on his vaccines? My husband's like, oh, yeah, he's up to date. So they're under the impression he's vaccinated. And do you know they test his urine and his blood scan? They came back and said, not only does he not have mono or bacterial meningitis, but we have never seen purer blood. The Bible quotes very clearly, the life is in the blood. And I know that God does not approve of us, you know, surpassing his defense mechanisms and injecting these animal viruses, because they use a live medium, like you were saying, to cultivate the diseases for these vaccinations. African green monkeys for the hepatitis B vaccination. The DPT, they use the jugular of a horse. They use aborted fetal tissue for the chickenpox vaccination. And we're wondering why, you know, literally God's putting his foot down here.
And I think it's so important for our listeners to know that the polio vaccine is grown in the kidneys of a green monkey. Now, initially it was in a rhesus monkey, but when we took them, why we got all of their various viruses. Now, of course, the original Sabin vaccine was, pardon me, the Sabin vaccine was actually treated with formaldehyde to weaken the virus, but certainly it didn't kill all the monkey viruses. So why would you want to give the whole American population animal viruses?
Exactly, and they're not even testing these monkeys. I mean, they know that they're not. I mean, they're not testing the vaccine, so you know they're not testing the monkeys. And when you extract a live virus from a live monkey, you're extracting every virus that particular monkey ever had.
That's right, and that is what happened. But nobody's telling the American people. And an awful lot of people now, they're dying of new cancers. And, of course, when they test those cancers, they find they have these monkey viruses and the cancer-producing viruses. And they're scared to death. The American people are going to know there's a relationship, so they lie. And they say, well, just because you have a cancer and you have the virus in the cancer doesn't mean that, you know, the virus caused the cancer, even though they know that the reason that they've done all their cancer research on viruses because of this same virus, because they knew it caused cancer in animals. And they feared it would cause cancer in human beings.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, again, I really believe that this is a, you know, opposing force of God, should I say, that's behind the whole introduction of vaccinations and behind the whole system and the whole conflict of interest. I mean, Bush Sr. was a board member of Eli Lilly, the manufacturers of the thimerosal.
You're talking about George Herbert Walker Bush. Do you think that had any reason why, when they put through the Office of Homeland Security legislation, they had a little provision in there that went in the middle of the night so nobody would know about it, and this massive legislation that stated that nobody could sue Eli Lilly for autism or any other complications of thimerosal?
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, Stan, this is going to be awakening for the audience as well, but we are the organization that fully funded both of those rallies to reverse the provision in January of 2003 and in March. They also slipped it in our BioShield bill. I couldn't even get another organization to donate a podium. They were so afraid of the pharmaceutical companies. And when we come back, I can tell we're getting ready to go to a break. When we come back, I'll go over some other conflicts of interest that I mentioned in my presentation. It's unbelievable.
All right, fine. Well, we'll give you the platform to do it because I think the information has to get out. Could you imagine putting something in the Office of Homeland Security legislation to protect Eli Lilly? And when people complain, they said, oh, well, if we don't protect Eli Lilly, they'll stop making vaccines. Knowing full well, Eli Lilly doesn't make vaccines. All they do is produce the mercury that is so effective in destroying the minds of our children.
A very important book is called AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic. Actually, it's a book I wrote back in 1991 that tells you the story of the politics of the AIDS epidemic and the fact that doctors have been blocked at every turn from doing what was really necessary to stop the spread of this horrible plague, both in the United States and throughout the world. AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic, it gives you my story of my effort working within organized medicine, the fact that the doctors of the state of California consistently voted and supported an effective public health policy, and at every turn their efforts were frustrated by those working within organized medicine, both at the state and national level, and the tragedy is that people are dying in America today unnecessarily. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic, because you need to understand the background of this epidemic to understand what is really happening medically in America today.
Have you purchased or invested in gold and silver coins or bullion in the last several years? If so, you've most likely been taken advantage of. In a lot of cases, out and out lied to. There are several tricks of the trade in play in the precious metals and collector coin markets. This is especially true during a hot market. Although it doesn't take a savvy investor to avoid the pitfalls of unscrupulous coin and metals dealers, it does take some common sense and the knowledge of which questions to ask. The asset management professionals at Colonial Resources can arm you with a few simple questions to ask your current broker or coin dealer. To find out if you've been taken advantage of, or if you're thinking of investing, call Colonial Resources toll-free, 1-800-685-4042. The precious metals and collector coin markets are hot and definitely where the smart money is heading. But before you make a mistake that could cost you hundreds or even thousands of dollars, call the professionals at Colonial Resources. The call and the advice are free. 1-800-685-4042. That's 800-685-4042.
Are you concerned about your child's future? Well, it starts with a sound education. VHM provides for that cornerstone of your child's future with a quality education founded on biblical principles. Our school sets high academic goals while developing moral standards. From preschool through eighth grade, your child is taught by experienced and credentialed teachers in all subjects, including our dynamic music program and state-of-the-art computer classes. Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." For over 50 years, VHM Christian School has provided peace of mind to parents knowing their children are receiving an excellent education in a loving environment. VHM is located at 427 Capitola Road Extension in Santa Cruz. Won't you call us today at 475-4762? That's VHM Christian School at 475-4762. Doesn't your child deserve a chance to try VHM?
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at April Oaks. And April, why don't you go ahead, and I would like you to get out your website, how people get in touch with you, and then I want you to give your explanation.
Thank you so much, Stan. They can access a lot of the research. We have it all on our website, which is www.tap, that's T as in Tom, A-A, P as in Paul, .info, I-N-F-O. That's our main website with most of our research, although you can get to some other websites to educate you even further on the vaccinations from ours. Anyone's more than welcome to give us a call at 800-939-TAP-AAP, which is 8227. And we encourage anyone who suspects or anyone who needs help, because we are moms on a mission, literally. We are lions protecting our cubs, and nothing's going to stop us but God himself.
Well, God bless you for what you're doing. Well, let's go ahead and give some of the other things that you found out as you begin to look into the background of this whole, I really feel that most of the people who are pushing it are well-meaning, but they've never stopped and thought what they were doing. But some of the people know exactly what they're doing. In fact, there's a wonderful book written by Dr. Edward Shorter, financed by the National Institute of Health, where they talk about how they've intentionally been concealing the existence of this SV40, the cancer-producing monkey virus in the American people, feeling that, we certainly wouldn't want to let them know. They wouldn't be able to understand this. Why, they might even turn against vaccines. So they simply lied about it.
Yeah, I mean, pediatricians, Stan, are vaccine clinics. I'm 40, and I went to a family doctor. Without vaccines, pediatricians would not have a business. And being that they're getting their information from the medical schools that are primarily funded from the pharmaceutical companies, they're only being taught what the pharmaceutical companies want them to know. And that's why it's so important that we even get to them. I'm encouraging pediatricians to have me speak to their patients, although unfortunately it's not, you know, not very easy to get in there because, again, you know, they're snowed and they're under the impression that they're doing good, and they're not. So a couple of the conflicts of interest that I'd like to cover that we've uncovered, and I do in my presentation, is that individuals on the advisory committee's own patents for vaccines under consideration, as I mentioned before. The CDC, the Center for Disease Control, grants conflicts of interest waivers to every member of their advisory committee. The committee chair, Dr. John Molden, owns stock in Merck, one of the largest pharmaceutical companies, valued at $26,000. A member of the CDC advisory committee, Dr. Paul Offit, disclosed that he received $350,000 grant money from Merck to develop the rotavirus vaccine, in which he shares the patent, which was pulled 6 months after it was licensed because of severe problems. And let me stop for a second, because that particular vaccine is why my baby's not here anymore. They thought she had what that vaccine was causing, intussusception, so they misdiagnosed her when she had bacterial meningitis. After being there 8 hours, told me to go home, nothing was wrong. So I believe he's responsible. And he actually even was the one, a couple months ago, they had a week on CBS of autism, finally, and he was the one representing the pro-vaccine side. He also gets paid to go around the country teaching doctors that vaccines are safe, according to the Wall Street Journal. There's also a Dr. Harry Greenberg, who's the chair of the FDA and owns $120,000 stock in Averon and $40,000 of Chiron stock, both vaccine manufacturers.
Well, are you suggesting that you think just because they have stock in these companies, they might have a vested financial interest in them?
Absolutely. I mean, they're more interested in making profits for a product like vaccines than to saving our babies. And it's like their blind eye. We did the rallies in front of the Capitol for the Homeland Security bill and the provision they protected Eli Lilly. We asked Bush 3 times to hold the White House autism conference. He told us he didn't have time. So it's like they don't even want to acknowledge there's a problem because there's so much money being made. And, you know, love of money is their god, unfortunately.
Well, I know, of course, that the mothers and the parents really have had a tremendous impact, and they forced, of course, the CDC and the NIH to reevaluate their position. And of course, these conferences are usually held just to placate the parents. But of course, at some of these, why the parents have been seem to know a lot more about the dangers of thimerosal and of mercury and the other additives in the vaccine than the vaccine experts do.
Oh, we've definitely taken the bull by the horns. I have to say that. I talked to our researchers, and they're just amazed on how knowledgeable us parents are. And you know something else I want to bring I haven't said yet that's real important? Today, if you follow the mandated vaccination schedule stand, a baby receives 45 injected vaccines by 6 months of age.
Now, those are 45 different injections.
Different injections.
Right.
Dr. Ted Korn is one of our scientific advisors, and he has a poster that he put together. I believe it's 64 between... by the time they're a year, I have it written down somewhere, and then like between 4 and 6 years of age, 74 injected vaccinations. And they're giving these babies at 2 months of age 9 diseases simultaneously. You and I, if we were exposed to 9 diseases, would have a problem at one time.
And of course, what you're doing is just overtaxing their immune systems. And then, of course, they get these autoimmune diseases, but it decreases their immunity, of course, when you attack them with all those diseases at one time.
Absolutely. God created our bodies perfect. Again, he is our master physician. My son, literally, I tried to give him chickenpox, and my little niece had it. And do you know, she had the most contagious point of chickenpox, and I wanted him to have that God-given lifetime immunity because God gives us these diseases, I believe, to strengthen our immune system for adulthood and survival. And do you know, he did not break out with it, and I guarantee you, if I tested his blood, he would have the antibodies for chickenpox. That's how strong his immune system is. He's never even had an ear infection. I praise God when he gets sick just because it slows him down because he's 200% boy. And I get to embrace him when he slows down. But fever is obviously a necessity. It burns the virus. It burns it's what God intended to kill whatever's going on. I mean, he's given us all we need. I mean, even all the way down to garlic as an antibiotic or grapefruit seed extract as a penicillin. As a strong, strong antibiotic. You know, so he's just taught me the hard way that, you know, we're allowing man to play his role. And that's why I believe he's stepping in and putting his foot down to wake us up.
Well, there is a place for antibiotics with serious illness. I wouldn't want to say there's not a place for serious for their use, because sometimes they can be life-saving. But, certainly I think that the most important thing is to recognize what we are doing to children. We start their very first day of life, there in the nursery, insulting them with a hepatitis B vaccine that is totally medically unnecessary. Would you like to talk about that? And, of course, the molecular mimicking and the attack on the immune system that you get from that hepatitis B vaccine. Why in heaven's name are they giving it to our children here when it is not a problem for our children? There are far more complications from the hepatitis B vaccination than there are children who have a problem, even have a case of hepatitis B.
Well, at best, Stan, researchers say that the immunity will last 7 years, which, again, is not even proven. It's just what they're saying. And why are we giving it to newborn babies? We're going to bring them back every 7 years, which, again, they're not exposed to unless they're IV drug users, blood transfusion, or sexual activity. So there is absolutely no need for that hepatitis B vaccination in newborn babies or in anyone, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, of course, the only justification would be if mother was hepatitis B positive, and you should be testing every mother to make sure she's not and will not then transmit it to her child. So that would be the only instance where that would be applicable.
Well, that's your opinion. Definitely not mine.
All right.
Because they unfortunately would, I don't trust them. I mean, you got to remember, I'm a betrayed parent, as many of these parents are. And that would give them the opportunity to test and be positive, test positive for hepatitis B positive moms, just to get that vaccine in these babies. And again, there is no proof it even works. There is no proof. And, you know, I just know that without question, I understand the whole concept behind vaccines. Give the body a little bit of an antigen so that it can develop the antibodies to protect them from the real thing. But the fact that they're pouring these preservatives in there, even Dr. Geyer literally was angry one day. He called me and he said, April, they're not using these toxins, this mercury, as a preservative. They're using it as a sterilizing agent. These vaccines are so contaminated, and he actually even helped make, I believe, the Rogam shot, or he handled it for 20-some years. And he said, April, the single-dose vials, because the whole purpose, they say, for the preservatives is to use multi-dose vials so they can make more money injecting more children with the same vial. And he tested a single-dose vial, and it had the mercury in there, too. And it's just unbelievable. I mean, even today, one of my trustees, Ingrid Castle, with Vaccination Liberation, she just informed me of this MPL, I believe she called it. It might be MLP. I'm not very well versed on it, but it's an MPL squalene, which literally is an oil, a fish oil, I believe she told me, that is suppressing the immune system. Now, we're being told they're replacing the mercury with this stuff.
Oh, my goodness. That's what they put in the anthrax vaccine that caused the disaster as far as our Gulf War patients. They're going to put squalene in there?
It is now.
That has never been proven safe.
Right. This is all brand-new information I just found out today from Ingrid. God bless her. And she is basically telling me that the central nervous system is being attacked. Now, we're being told, or the parents, the average lay parent out there, is being told that it strengthens the immune system.
Well, the only reason that they would do that if they wanted to destroy our children, because they actually, the military did a study in the 50s with about 40 or 50,000 troops, and they used a mineral oil as the adjuvant, which is to stimulate this. And there were so many of these people that had mental problems and serious neurological sequelae that they gave that up. And then, of course, when we went into the Gulf War, they used an experimental vaccine, anthrax vaccine, with squalene in it. I don't know if you've read the book Vaccine A, but it goes into the incredible story of the Gulf War illness. And they knew that it was going to be harmful, and they put it in anyway, and almost half of those young men who went over the Gulf now have permanent disability.
It is devastating, Stan, and that's why I literally feel like John the Baptist right now. I'm out there just trying to scream the truth to everyone
to wake up. I think your idea that this is evil, this is the only logical explanation for what's going on. Not that the average doctor is evil, not that the average public health officer is evil. They just want to keep their job, and if you buck the system, they're going to destroy you. That's really the way it works.
Absolutely. Our new vice president, Greg Fiola, with Crusader Magazine, he comes out with his crusaders very, very often, and exposes everything. He had my interview a couple of editions ago where he interviewed Shane Ellison, an ex-pharmaceutical chemist that retired and blew the whistle on everything, how his job was threatened, how they can't report reactions, how we're literally being used as guinea pigs. His latest edition we're getting ready to send out is with the Vioxx guy, what's his name, David Graham.
Dr. David Graham, right.
He just did a 31-page interview with him, and he's publishing that and sending it out, and just exposing. We're all coming together, so God help them.
Well, of course, we have Greg as a not infrequent guest here at Radio Levity. We carry his book on genetically modified foods, and certainly we appreciate the fact that you and he are working together. And, of course, I think people across America are beginning to network. And all we can do, if we could once convince the American mothers that they are intentionally harming their children by many means, and all we need to do is look and see that one in every six American children has a neurodevelopmental or behavioral abnormality. Does anybody think that happened simply by accident?
Yeah, I just can't see how they can't understand it. I'm going to quote another Bible scripture here. My people will perish for lack of knowledge, not the people. My people. So for all you Christians listening out there, we have to wake up, because this is the satanic attack, and if we don't wake up, we will perish.
And I think it was so interesting that, you know, if a child comes in from another country, maybe from Mexico or from South America, and he's here for a few years and gets all of the vaccines, and he develops asthma. He develops pathological obesity. And this isn't simply because he's eating too many McDonald's. It's the things that they're giving our children in our food and our vaccines that are producing this problem. And when our children graduate from high school and they're scholastically tested and compared with children from other nations, we can't compete at all. I don't believe that happened by accident at all, and I share your concern. And so anyway, tell us some of the other things that you've found, you know, as you begin analyzing what's really going on.
Well, I mean, bottom line, we all know someone with some form of autoimmunity. You know, cancer, chronic fatigue syndrome, fibromyalgia, depression, schizophrenia, anxiety disorder, seizures, developmental delays, ADD, ADHD, autism, lupus, multiple sclerosis, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, Crohn's, OCD, arthritis, diabetes, ALS, IBS, bipolar, Lyme disease, thyroiditis, and many, many more. It's like I call it the ABC alphabet soup. they keep coming up with new labels of what to call these diseases, as our treatment coordinator, Dr. Gary Tunsky, says. We're literally, it's 10,001 labels, which is boils down to one disease, cellular malfunction. We are contaminating our bodies with these foreign proteins and these, you know, these heavy metals and everything else that we're putting in our bodies.
And, of course, your friend Greg Sio is so concerned about the genetically modified foods, and we ought to be. Because in the animal studies, sometimes the animals have died, but they wanted to go ahead and release them anyway. Other times, as with, of course, one of the more recent things that they've released now, the BT products, genetically modified products, and they finally got the report out. They only tested this on 200 rats, got the BT corn, and 200 didn't. And of those that got it, they had smaller kidneys, they had abnormalities in the blood, but they won't release the full report because, of course, it's proprietary. And then they're giving this to us. We are the guinea pigs, and this is what the American people don't understand. They experimented with stilbestrol, and women, you know, were in threat of having a miscarriage, and so they gave them all stilbestrol. And 20 years later, the women had CA of the vagina, their daughters had CA of the vagina, and 20 years later, their granddaughters had CA of the vagina. And, of course, it was a great experiment. Aw, shucks, it just didn't work. Well, we're not going to do that again. But how many women's lives have been destroyed? Because we were used as guinea pigs, and they're doing that right today.
Absolutely. I mean, God has it all under control. He created us perfectly. All the way down to doctors downplaying and discrediting chiropractors, for instance. I've been told they're quacks my whole life. I was the victim. The reason I understand now, through my experience, is because chiropractors believe the body has the innate ability to heal from the inside out, so they just release the subluxation so that God can heal. Whereas medical doctors are taught that they are this godlike mentality, and they heal from the outside in. Take a pill for this, take a pill for that. You don't need tonsils, you don't need a gallbladder. So they're just as misinformed as we are, and that's why I think it's urgent that we reach them as well and wake them up to the truth. And we have many medical doctors that have, you know, listened to us, Dr. Andrew Wakefield, Dr. Vijendra Singh, Dr. John Martin, many of them on our website, that have thought, you know, they've gone beyond that box they're trained in, and they've researched it, and unfortunately, Stan, they lose their license. Anyone who goes up against the sacred cow, Dr. Wakefield can't even get a license here in the States. He was a top gastroenterologist in London, England, at the Royal Free Medical School. First guy to do a transplant of colon. Meanwhile, when he started listening to us, he loses his license, he loses his funding. Same with Dr. Martin, same with all of them. We're the only, or one of the only, private organizations, and we are a non-profit charity, by the way, a tax-deductible organization for as long as they'll allow us to continue being, as long as God allows us to continue being. And we're one of the only ones who are funding these independent researchers who are proving what we already know.
Well, I think that Dr. Wakefield and Dr. Martin are doing a great job, and I applaud you for what you're doing. Well, April, I hope we can get you back on some of our other programs, because I think your information is important and really needs to be shared with our audiences.
You're wonderful, Stan. Thank you so very much, and God bless you.
And you too. And we'll be looking forward to talking to you. I'll give you a call off the air. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Leading-edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high-quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
If you're looking for a comfortable residential care facility for yourself or a loved one, consider Cozy Home in Moss Landing. The six-bed facility provides nutritious home-cooked meals, special diets, private rooms, recreational activities, on-site podiatry, occupational and physical therapy, 24-hour supervision, as well as housekeeping, personal laundry service, transportation for doctor's appointments, and much, much more. The facility is located at 97 Springfield Road in Moss Landing. Please call Crystal at 831-840-1361. That's 831-840-1361, or Elsie at 831-840-2410. That's 831-840-2410, and ask for a brochure or a tour of the facility.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and of course this is the time when I need to, of course, to mention that we carry a great deal of material on the subject we've been talking about. We have books on autism. We have a wonderful book. It's called Evidence of Harm, and it's written by